It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. If Bob didn't say it, then it probably ain't true. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie. Bob McCowan. Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So I know what the greenskeeper at Goodwood is doing during the offseason.
It's keeping me well coiffed, eh?
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty short.
It's pretty short.
It's good. It's good for winter. But no, it's not actually.
Was this your idea or did somebody talk you into it?
No, I always go in. I say, give me the number two and trim the top. They gave me the number two.
The number two?
Yeah. Two, almost down.
What, do they have like a list in the barbershop that you go
to? Well, you give the, right? The closer you get to zero, the shorter it gets, I would assume. Because I always go with two. It takes me down quite a bit.
You go to a barber that cuts you with the razor, with the electric razor?
Yeah, like zin, 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 and then they use the scissors on top.
Really?
Yeah, I always do that.
Really?
Really, always.
Never done that.
Really? Well, I can tell, obviously. Your hair on the side's longer than mine on the top.
My hair on my face is longer than the hair on the side of your head.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, you know, old school. Haircut you can set your watch to, as Abe Simpson would say.
I guess. Well, you still look beautiful, though.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, before we get started, the athletic director at Acadia University, Kevin Dickey, big fan of yours, so he wanted to say hi. And the entire, you're huge in the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia. I was there over the weekend, so... All I got asked, what's Bob like? What's Ivanka like? And I said, oh, they're both splendid.
Well, what they said was, what's Ivanka like? And what's that jerk McCowan like?
No, I said you're way nicer than Ivanka.
No, you didn't.
Of course I didn't.
No, you didn't say that at all.
I have to keep your image up. I said, you don't want to see Bob. That's all I'm saying. So they're both interesting to work with, both for their own reasons.
Well, tell us what you said about Ivanka. How do you really feel about her?
I said she's really nice to work with. She's a great work wife. We have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of chuckles, and keep it loose. You know what I want to say about you? Do you want to know?
No, I don't care.
Okay. Said he's surprisingly quite nice behind the scenes.
Surprisingly. I always like that one. Bob Nicholson will join us shortly. He is slightly delayed.
Everyone thinks you're mean, and you're not mean. That was kind of what I wanted to stress.
Shut up, Ken. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe will join us in a bit.
You finally said that. It was in the promo. You finally said it.
What?
You have to rack that. Shut up, Ken. Because you said in the promo, when you say shut up, when the intern says shut up, Ken Reed, you said, I never said that. Now you've said it.
Greg Zahn of Sportsnet will join us later. Paul Jones of the, he's not of the Toronto Raptors. He covers the Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Who lost yesterday. Did you watch a basketball game, football game?
I watched.
Hockey game was a nooner, right?
Yeah, I watched the hockey game, and I watched the Grey Cup yesterday. That was my viewing yesterday.
You want to know how much of the Grey Cup I watched? Oh, my God, look who's here.
You just watched none of the Grey Cup.
Come and sit down. We're in the middle of the show. Look at you.
What a smile. How
you doing, boys?
Where's
good.
Where's your tie?
Hey, I just came from Pebble.
Nice to see you, Nick.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Not bad. How you doing?
Good.
Slide right up to that microphone.
Right here. All right.
You look the same as the CEO and vice chair of the Edmonton Oilers as you did as the whatever the hell you had that, what the title was with
that
Hockey
other,
Canada.
That other good gig I had. That wasn't bad either.
You look happy.
Yeah, I am happy.
It'd be nice if your hockey team was playing better.
You know what? I'm disappointed in the W's. But I think there's a lot of other things that we're pretty happy with. You know, The team structure's good. We're playing better, but, you know, lost 11 games by one goal. But bottom line, in this league, it's about wins.
Do you want to settle in for a minute here? Or do you want us to get right into the conversation?
Hey, I can go wherever you want, what your handicap is, where, how deep you want to do.
Where are you playing golf in Edmonton? Did you join somewhere?
No, I just Mayfair. Played there a bunch of times.
What, do you got some kind of a deal over there? I'm sure.
No, I never
don't,
get
it. You got a smile on your face.
I never get it.
You got
deal.
A deal.
I would like to.
Is it a private club?
I would have liked you at Pebble Beach on Saturday, though.
Were you in at Pebble?
Yeah.
You weren't lying. You were really at Pebble when you
came.
Yeah,
I was down there for 3 days with Molson.
Oh, that trip.
That trip. It was a good one.
I didn't get invited to that trip this year.
I can't believe that you're not on that list. I guess the golf game's gone south.
No, I got invited a couple of years ago, and I couldn't go, so I guess they took me off the list. Yeah. Well, that and Mackey's not there anymore.
Yeah, that hurts you.
What is this world you guys live in where Molson takes you to Pebble Beach? And how do I get in on this world?
You don't.
I know
with
I don't.
With your short hair.
You won't even take me out. Where? Who were you dissing me with? You wouldn't take me out.
Did I take you
day?
To Goodwood?
Last year.
Yeah.
That's a year ago. I put on too good a performance.
You must have beat him bad.
No, he did not. Who are you kidding?
Well, I don't know.
You're the only guy who beats me.
Were we keeping score, Bob?
I don't even remember. Were we?
Well, I was till the fifth hole, and then I fell apart. Remember you told me I'd tear it up the first four?
Oh, yeah.
And
well, the
I
first
did.
Four are like chip shots.
I was two under, but then
have you played the home of golf? Have I had you out to Goodwood yet?
No.
No, you just...
You've threatened it a couple of times, but never been able to deliver.
Pebble Beach is actually closer.
What do you mean I have not delivered? You just don't, you always, I'll be there and never show up. You're a Western Canada guy. You don't come back east. It's good to see you, though.
Yeah, I know. It is good to see you, Bob.
You look good. So what's the plan with this organization? You know, now that you're the chief enchilada, are you in assessment mode?
No.
You got a lot of new management people.
Yeah, you know what? People don't even realize what we've done. Everyone talks about what we did in hockey last June and July, and that's only a small part. We've changed the whole executive structure within OEG. We really moved it from Oilers hockey team into Oilers Entertainment Group. We're in the neighborhood, hired another 60 to 70 people.
For the new building?
For the new building, with another huge hire on top of that, is through the summer, and you know, the city is really vibrant right now because of the project we got downtown. We had 900 people working on the property. I think we're at 800 right now, and we're working with that number for quite a while.
Oh, look, we got video. Was that you on the roof there?
Hey, that's it. With the hammer.
This isn't just a building, though, Bob. This is I lived right down by that location when I lived in Edmonton for a couple of years. And I'll be pretty blunt. There were certain parts down there you didn't want to walk in too close to dark. You know, it could kind of get rough. But this is going to really change the whole city, is it not?
It's really going to change it. And, you know, when you look at it, when you look at the arena and you look at the Winter Garden, that's where 80% of the spectators will enter from. And the rail station, that's about $606 million for that. And then there's almost another $2 billion that are going into the ice district. And, you know, we have hotels, we have condos, we have restaurants, we have Cineplexes, Rexall Drugs, pretty well everything that you need within the inner city.
No Shoppers Drug Mart, though, is there?
No Shoppers Drug Mart didn't make the list.
Wouldn't imagine it would. What about the team that you're going to have going in the building? Is that, like, that has to be a concern. I mean, you want to have
we got to be better. And as I said, I'm disappointed where we are as we sit today with our wins. I've seen an improvement in our play, but it's still not good enough. And Peter Chiarelli is just really now getting to have a good feel of what he has as a general manager of this hockey team. And Todd McClellan is an exceptional coach. We're going to get it right. We're not going to do anything hastily. And we've got good pieces. And, you know, everyone just started to get a glimpse of 97. And, you know, he eased his way into the league the first four games. Then he's just started to take off. And disappointing for us and more so for him. But for hockey fans, you know, he got injured. He'll be back, and he'll be back stronger than ever. But we got to show between now and the time he comes back that we can get competitive. You know, I'm not going to lost 11 games by one goal. If he was in some of those, that would have helped. But we got to find ways to win when he's not there, and hopefully we'll start tonight.
What's his status? How's he doing? We've heard he's ahead of schedule.
Yeah, he's ahead of schedule, but I don't know what that even means, Bob. We'll look at him after Christmas time. I can tell you, we're not rushing him.
No.
You know, ready, he's still going to wait. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time.
I mean, just look at some of these moves here. I mean, you could talk about his shot, his edges. You know, that's obviously where he gets injured. Have you learned anything about him in those games where he did play that surprised you about him?
Yeah, Jeff Jackson and Bobby Orr told me there'll be times you went, what did he just do?
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught myself, let's look at the TV because his speed, he just gets... You think he's going full tilt, and then he goes to another level. And, you know, he has very, very good hands. He reads the game well. But if you get him the puck in the neutral zone, he's a weapon.
Does he have that ability? I've heard people say it, and you'd know better having seen him a lot, that Gretzky-like ability to anticipate the play a couple plays ahead. And I don't want to compare him to Gretzky, obviously, but just that similar quality.
Yeah, he's an elite player that knows where the puck's going. And... he's got the ability to get there quickly himself, and he really finds his teammates. And, you know, I'm not sure who he'll end up playing with when he comes back, but he's playing really well with Yak. Yak was putting a lot of points up on the board with that. And, you know, we'll see where that ends up. You know, we have Leon Draisaitl and Taylor Hall playing really well together right now. That's sort of new chemistry that we found since Leon's come back from Bakersfield.
Can't believe the numbers he's put up since you guys called him up. But it's over a point a game.
Yeah, he's been, you know, he's that big centerman we're looking for. So you look at Nuge, Draisaitl, and McDavid, that's pretty good. That's really good.
Do you and Shirelli talk on a daily basis?
Yeah, we talk a lot. You know, I think you knew that, Bob, that... you know, we had a great relationship through the Olympics that we had. And, you know, hey, he's calling the shots on the hockey side. There's no question about it. But we have very good conversations on the hockey team. He gets engaged in the overall, some of the business things. He wants to know what's going on. He's a big picture guy. He's around this team more than he will in the future. Like, he'd like to get out and see more games. But, you know, we hired him right in June. He stated he wanted to be with Todd for the first 6 months to make sure him and Todd were on the same page. And then he'll get out and, you know, travel with our scouts, get to know our scouts better, make sure that everyone gets on the same page.
So he's staying with the big team most of the time.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and that's not the way he'll be, I think, maybe in the next year or so. But for the first year, he will spend most of his time there.
Do you anticipate... regardless how this team plays between now and the end of March, do you anticipate this team being active in making moves?
We're going to do everything we can to get this team better. We're not going to do anything radical, but yeah, we're active today looking to see how we can make this team better. Daryl Cates has, you know, told us look at anything that's possible and get a deal done if you can. And the one thing in this league, it's not easy to make a deal. You know, everyone says, hey, this is a great deal, but it's tough to get done.
Are you a max
No, we're just under that. And, you know.
Do you have the ability to go to the limit?
Yeah. You know, we certainly can do that. That's certainly not any strings that Daryl's telling us we can't go that high. We just don't think spending money right now is the appropriate thing to do. Peter's going to evaluate the talent we have now. And, you know, we've got some players with contracts coming up that we'll have to see if we make an offer to them and then make some changes sort of this date going forward.
Your building, your current building, Rexall Center, closes the end of this year. Your new building opens beginning of next year, correct?
Yeah, we move in to Rogers Place. September 16.
Is the building larger?
Not seat wise, there's not a big difference. It's just over 18,000. But the really neat thing in this building is there's so many different neighborhoods. We have this loge seating that is really, really special, a VIP, but you really get to mingle. It's 1,600 people. We have theater boxes for six. So it's like you're in a little theater and open the curtains and back into fine dining. We have suites, and then the lower bowl is about 3,000 people more in the lower bowl than the existing bowl. So that's a big shift.
You would anticipate revenues would increase?
Oh, yeah. You remember, we're just a tenant now. And so now we're going in, we're going to run this building, and we have to look at a lot of different revenue streams to go forward. You know, it's a Canadian team, the Canadian dollar where it is. Well, we're fortunate that we're going into a new building, and, you know, little tougher times for most Canadian teams.
Did the start that you guys have had to the season, 8-14-2, has that changed the overall approach to how the rest of this season is going to play out and your overall approach to how the next few seasons should play out? Because I'm assuming you guys thought you'd have a lot more than 8 wins at this point of the year.
Yeah, we thought we'd have a lot more, but we knew we were still in a building mode. So, no, it's not going to really change. We have a whole new coaching staff. We got a new general manager, you know. No matter where we were, they had to come in and evaluate where we are. We're still in evaluation mode, but we're ready to make some moves if we can, and if they're better for us long term. We don't want to do anything that's short term. We want to make sure that it's a long term picture. And yeah, we've wanted to be better. We wanted to get more wins, and I think you're going to see that through the second half of the year. I think this team is on the verge of doing a better job, and, you know, it'd be nice to get 3 or 4 wins in a row and see where we could go.
But not being in Edmonton, I'm curious about the patience of the fan base. I mean, Daryl's written letters to the fan base before. I know these fans have been through a lot since that run to the Cup Final in 06. They know their hockey in Edmonton, too. I mean, you're not talking to a dumbed-down fan base. Is that your message to them, just kind of stay the course with us and, hey, just hold on a little longer?
You know what? I've been impressed and sort of at times I go, wow, they love this team. Mm-hmm. They really do love the Oilers. You know, there's so many individual season ticket holders, and there's a sense right now, there's disappointment that we haven't had more wins, but they believe that we're going in the right direction, and we just have to keep that in front of them, and we have to make sure that we're showing that on a nightly basis. You know, there was a lot of games last year that we were out of the games. Yep. Early in, and we had no pushback. There's been games this year that we're down by 2 and we're able to push back, come back and tie. So there's a lot of positive things there. But it's still about getting the W at the end, and we haven't been successful at that.
Sorry, are you on the chicken dinner circuit as the CEO?
No, I get a little steak once in a while in there too.
Alberta beef, Bob.
Alberta beef.
You're traveling a lot, Les, do you?
Yeah, you know what?
You were all used to be all over the world. You never knew where the hell you were.
Yeah, I was, but I still have my, I'm still vice president of International Ice Hockey Federation, and, you know, I was over in Zurich 2 weeks ago, and that's still good. I talk to Scott Smith and Tom Rennie weekly and still try to make sure that I represent Hockey Canada on the international scene, and I still really enjoy doing that.
How's Rennie doing? Okay.
Yeah, he's doing good. You know,
he's been in here a couple times.
Yeah, no, he's
already visited us more times in the first year than you did, so we like him a lot.
Well, that's good. I'm happy. He should. He's a nice guy.
Bob, given your international experience, you mentioned you were in Zurich. I assume you didn't see Austin Matthews playing because he was injured. But what do you think of a young guy, you know, snubbing the dub, for lack of a better term, pushing off NCAA hockey and going to play in Switzerland in his draft year, a North American kid doing that?
Yeah, I found that very interesting. You know, when I was with Hockey Canada, I was always worried, would that happen? You know, would that start to be a trend, you know, with so many Europeans coming over here? And now it has happened. It doesn't look like it's going to be a trend with players. I haven't seen him play. Some of our scouts have. He's a heck of a hockey player. Mm-hmm. So was it the right thing for him? I think time will tell.
What would be a bad thing about doing that for a young kid? that not necessarily him, but just any kid out there that you might say, look, you'd be better off staying in Canada in Major Junior?
Yeah, I still think that, you know, playing in Major Juniors, you really are around the players that are going to play in the National Hockey League. You learn the way they think. There's a lot of, you know, great players that you can learn from. Over in Europe, you're playing with really talented players, but they're older players, and not very many of them are going to come back and play in the NHL. So you're a little out of that network, but, you know, he obviously had his reasons why he would go. But I don't think that'll be a choice for very many players.
With Bob Nicholson, the CEO and vice chairman of the Oilers Entertainment Group, we are in constant conversation about the state of the game. Right now, goal scoring is at a premium in the National Hockey League. It's a lot lower than I would like to see it. Is it lower than you'd like to see it?
Everyone wants to see more goals. You know, we've talked about this, and I think there's two things that can be done. I know one thing that the NHL is looking at. Technology is in our game. I think we have to get the technology that, you know, when the puck goes across the line, that it shows that it's a goal. I think there's a lot of pucks that are going across the goal line, you know, under pads or in gloves, that would increase it just with having that technology right. I think that takes out a lot of the delay in the games. And so I'd like to see that happen quickly. And I really believe that the goaltender's pads can get a lot smaller. You want goalies to be protected because, you know, the players shoot the puck so hard. But I really think that there's a lot of different ways to make the goaltender's pads, gloves, and chest protectors smaller, which opens up the net a bit.
Do you like 3-on-3 overtime?
Yes, I do. And the reason I like it is I like it better than a shootout. And I've seen a big difference in the start of the season, how the teams are playing 3-on-3 to how they're playing it today. And it might change again. But it's entertaining. If you're going to have a team win or lose, I'd rather have it through 3-on-3 than a shootout.
Would you go so far as to eliminate the shootout altogether?
Yeah, you know what? I think that would be a good one, but I think the players would push back because they think 3-on-3, you know, it's the Stars already playing an extra 5 minutes. They had to play an extra 10 or 12 and they're playing back-to-back games. They might have something to say.
Well, what if you extended it by, I don't know, 2 minutes? Because the original thought was the way they did it in the American Hockey League. 4 minutes of 4-on-4 and then 3 minutes of 3-on-3. Well, the NHL decided to just go right to the 3-on-3. And I'm not opposed to that. But they stayed at 5 minutes of overtime. If you extended another couple of minutes, and then if it's still tied, really? I mean, we're all both old enough to remember when teams used to play to a tie. It wasn't the end of the world. You know, fans don't jump off bridges if your team ties instead of wins or loses, right?
You know what? From my seat, I would love that. But, you know, that's going to be a huge debate within the Players Association. I think that any time that more players on the ice can determine the outset of the game, the better. You know, the shootout, I lived it internationally for a lot of times. That's not the right way to end
no.
a game. And especially world championships and even a regular season in the NHL.
Would you like to see the National Hockey League give 3 points for a regular season win?
You know, that's been talked about a lot. And, you know, I like the way it is right now. And I got to live this a little bit more myself. 3 points is a, you know, all of a sudden you can get out of it really, really quickly. And that's the big thing is you want to be able to get points if you win, but you don't want to be out of the playoff race too early if you're playing well enough.
Except I'm not sure.
You're saying 3 points for a win.
3 points for a regular season, a regular time win, a 60-minute win.
And then two for OT and one.
Two for overtime, and then if you have to have a shootout, you give them two on that too.
Yeah, there's been discussion before I got to the league about that type of formula. Again, right now there's pretty good parity and there's pretty good races, so I'm not sure if you.
But is it artificial? See, I think it's artificial because you know it's too easy for teams to get a point.
So you're just saying everyone's playing to get into overtime.
I can't say that. What I am saying is if I was coaching, understanding how coaches get fired and how they're judged, if I'm going to lose, I'd much rather lose on overtime.
There's no question. No.
You know, give me that point. That point might not mean a damn thing at the end of the year. If I'm 6 points back now, I'm in trouble. If I was 12 points back before the before overtime in the shootout, it's basically the same thing. So I understand the notion that it keeps teams in contention, but it's a false notion. The truth is, you get X number of points back, you really are out of it.
The other thing, you know, I'm not going to sit here and totally agree with you, but
shocking.
No one ever does.
No, exactly. But it does, it pushes teams to really try to win. And that makes it more exciting.
Well, and I mean, yeah, that's the real agenda. There's that carrot out there, that three-point carrot. If you win in overtime, you still get your 2 points. And if you win, have to go to a shootout, you still get your 2 points. But there's that extra point if you win in 60 minutes, that the historic, traditional 60-minute hockey game that really doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that, you know, your thought process is good because you try to get it done in 60.
You're rewarded for it. You get an extra point if you do it.
Something maybe we should look at, Bob.
Well,
not a bad volley.
Now, do you sit on? Are you the governor for the team?
Yes.
So you sit on all the in all the meetings?
Yes, I do.
And how is that? This is the first time now for at that level.
It's different. You know, it's again. Gary has a strong agenda. You know, the homework's been done on the agenda. You know, from the hockey and the business side. You come in with a lot of information. You got to do your homework. If you're going to challenge something at that point, you better really have your homework done. And I've talked to a few people. But overall, I've been very impressed of the way they run the meeting and the way that Gary gets through difficult issues and keeps everyone on side.
I don't know this for a fact. I assume you knew John Collins or know John Collins.
Yeah, I know John pretty well.
Yeah. That's a significant loss for the National Hockey League, at least until they announce who's replacing him.
Yeah, John Collins did an outstanding job. You know, he brought in a lot of revenues, had created, you know, a lot of programming for the league and for the teams. And, you know, John's going to do great at what he's doing. And, you know, hopefully they'll get a replacement that we won't miss a beat and continue on from the good work that John's done.
Tell me what you think about the World Cup, which will arrive next September.
I like it. And I know you don't like the young guns. I think it's really good. I think if you're sitting here as a Canadian or U.S., you get to see the best young players. And the game has become younger, and it's different than the Olympics or World Championships. And Team Europe, they're going to be really strong. So it's a whole different look than the last World Cups or Canada Cups. There's every team could win in this format.
What's the challenge of marketing that to someone? Because you know better than anybody. People love to put on the red and white and cheer for Team Canada. How do you get people to go cheer for a team with Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel on it playing against the Sidney Crosby and Team Canada?
They're going to cheer for that team.
Yeah, the young gun team?
They're going to cheer for it just because they're the young guns. The theme around that team, I'm not sure how, you know, going to have to get creative and do that. But they're going to want Eichel and McDavid, you know, and all the rest of these young players to be successful. They think they're underdogs. They probably are. They get good goaltending. They're going to be an exciting team to watch.
Can I ask one more stadium question, Bob, before we
go? Yeah, in a second. I hate that idea.
I know you do.
I was trying to keep it civil because I know
if you want to do this, there's a pattern out there. You were have been involved in how many World Hockey Championships? Dozens. Have gone all over the world with Team Canada, you know, in April. Olympic Games. The essence of a World Cup, of a World Championship, is you represent your country. You put on the flag, and that's who you play for. I was born here. I was raised here. I'm playing for this team, etc. This smells to me like a manipulation, either by Don Fear or by the Players Association or by somebody to say, well, let's do this because that'll get more NHL players involved in this thing.
There's no question that's part of it. This is an NHLPA event, and you're going to see the best NHL players playing in these different circumstances. And it's better than having the seventh or eighth country in that will not be as competitive. These two teams.
I don't care. I only care about three countries, really.
Don't you care about who's the best?
Well, yeah, but we're going to find that out ultimately.
And what happens if the young guns win?
All hell will break loose. Chaos.
That wouldn't be bad in the final.
Your World Cup is a mess if they win. It's a mess because
I think, you know what? It shows that, hey, there's a lot of great young players coming into the NHL, and you promote the NHL that way.
Well, would you be happy if the World Cup of soccer was played that way? Had a team of the world's best under 22-year-old players?
I don't watch World Cup of hockey.
You don't care.
Or World Cup of soccer.
Neither the other two guys on this table.
Well, no, we don't either, but it's just... It seems to me that it's a unique. We understand the world championships are what they are, and we respect them. But and you know we'll watch a little bit. But this is an opportunity every 4 years, alternate to the Olympic Games, to bring the world's best together, play it on a Canadian or a North American ice surface, the smaller ice surface, the best players in the National Hockey League representing their countries. If somebody gets beat 8-1 in the first couple of rounds, well. We've seen that for years. We saw that a lot when the Russians were great and Canada was crappy. We saw the Russians beat us by those kinds of scores. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. What I'd like to see is an inclusive environment where there's a play down, a methodology established in advance to allow somebody other than the top five countries to get in. Some kind of play down. Use the World Championships, for example. I don't care how you do it for the first time. But then ultimately... Some series of games, events, tournaments that lead you to get into the World Cup. And that would preclude the under 22s.
You know what? I don't disagree with that statement. I think the key here is we have to announce to the world that we're having a World Cup every 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And if we
haven't done that yet, but we hope that will happen.
Hopefully that happens. And we test this out. If it's great, you build on it. If it's not, maybe we look at another way to add two teams in. But we have to establish a World Cup every 4 years. I think that's the most important thing
that
to get the property right.
We got to let you go.
I got to go to a hockey game tonight. We play tonight.
Well, I know we're in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're against the awesome Toronto Maple Leafs. Could be nothing. You know that.
There'll be some goals scored tonight.
Oh, I hope so. Mr. Nicholson, you look beautiful, and it's always lovely to see you. Don't run away yet. We got to take the break here and stick around. That's the CEO, vice chair of the Oilers Entertainment Group. That's Bob Nicholson. We'll come back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's been such a long time, I think I should be going, yeah. Time doesn't wait for me, it keeps on.
Two minutes before the hour, primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, Canada's most listened to sports talk show. Bob McCowan, Ken Reid in our Toronto studios, Greg Zahn and Paul Jones in the next hour. Broncos, Patriots last night, a chance for New England to continue to run the table, and oops, didn't work out. And the Broncos do it without Manning as well. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe joins us to talk a little bit about this. Ben, in your opinion, was this a great performance by the Broncos or the Patriots stubbing their toe?
Yeah, I hate to sound like a Boston homer here, but I think this game was really more about some of the attrition that the Patriots have suffered on their end than a major statement by the Broncos. I mean, at the end of the game there in overtime, the Patriots didn't have Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola. They're missing both their linebackers, Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower. So they're pretty banged up right now, and Tom Brady's targets were basically playing on the JV team earlier this year. The Broncos have had some injuries, too. There's no question about it. Brock Osweiler, really nice performance last night, protected the football, made some big throws. But again, this is not anywhere close to a full-strength Patriots team, and I think the injuries really bit them hard last night.
The Gronkowski injury, we are led to believe, is not serious, and while he probably won't play next weekend, may not miss more than that. What are you hearing?
Yeah, he just suffered, from what I'm told, a knee strain. Nothing too serious. They really avoided disaster on this one. He'll probably sit out a week, maybe two, but definitely not a long-term injury. No sort of ligament tear or anything like that. He'll be back, and the goal now for him and Edelman and Amendola and all these guys, get them healthy for the playoffs. Because the Patriots, even with the JV team, they can still probably go 14-2 and maybe even still capture the number one seed in the playoffs. Then they get a bye. Then hopefully they can get all these guys back. But, you know, the lineup they have right now, certainly not a very good playoff caliber offense, but there's still a possibility that all their guys can come back and be healthy at the end of the season.
Finishing number one in the AFC is important, but is it critical in your opinion?
It's close to critical. Coming back here to Denver for the AFC Championship game would not be fun. And Cincinnati, their defense is pretty darn good. That would not be a great place to have to go on the road. The Patriots are invincible at home. They never lose at home. They just play so much better when they're at Gillette Stadium,
sure.
Inclement weather, January playoff football. Considering that they've been hit by the injury bug and they're not clicking on all cylinders, you know, the Patriots team earlier in the year when they're scoring 40, 50 points a game, yeah, they could go on the road and beat anyone. But this team that's hurt and slowed down, I think they really could use the home field advantage.
Ben, what would you say to a New England fan? And I know it's the easiest cop-out in the world, but what would you say to a Patriots fan that said, we lost that game because of the refs last night? Would they have a case to say that?
Yeah, and many Patriots fans are saying that, in fact. The referees were not great. I think they were really calling some ticky-tack calls that went against the Patriots towards the end, of course, but it's very convenient to blame the refs. You know, officiating is a very hard job, and things happen very quickly, and it's, you know, very easy to sit here, you know, in our living rooms with our 60-inch TVs and instant replay and to criticize them. The officials did not make the Patriots fumble that punt in the fourth quarter. They did not make the Patriots mismanage the clock at the end of the game and give the Broncos all kinds of time. So, yes, the officiating was not very good, but the Patriots, it was a collection of mistakes on their part in the fourth quarter that cost them that game.
Do you believe, given what you've said, do you believe that the officiating has deteriorated in the National Football League? And I'm not suggesting for a second that there's a long-term trend happening here. It may only be a blip. But do you believe that all of these plays that we've focused on now are evidence that the officiating is not as good right now as what you would expect?
I don't think it has been up to the quality that it needs to be. Every week there are seemingly several big blown calls, some real baffling ones. You know, the inadvertent whistle that we had the Patriots-Bills game last weekend. The referees missed one in a Ravens-Jaguars game that basically cost the Ravens a win and gave a win to the Jaguars. So there have been some really bad calls this year. And I do think that, you know, it's not just a figment of our imagination. Like, it is a real thing. And first of all, the officiating has had a lot of turnover the last few years.
There's yes, it has.
23 new officials. That's an unusually high amount. So there's a lot of new refs that are all, you know, an interesting mix of young and old, and not everyone's on the same page. But I think with the scrutiny that's come with the job in recent years, and then the command center in New York City always looking over the officials' shoulders and kind of telling them how to rule, I think it's caused some hesitancy with the rules, particularly what is a catch and what isn't a catch. The officials, I think, are guessing as much as we are. They don't really know anymore what is clearly a catch and what isn't. So I think the officials are hesitant. There's been a lot of turnover, a lot of new blood. The developmental program, they don't have NFL Europe anymore, so maybe the officials aren't developing the way that they should. But certainly I think there are several factors that are playing into it, and I think it's real. I think the officiating certainly needs to improve here.
Does it puzzle you that the biggest, most successful, most economically viable mm-hmm. league in North America has part-time officials? Or is that of no concern to you? In essence, they've always had part-time officials, but surely there has to be something to it. This is the only major league.
Step up. This is big time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got billions and billions of dollars going on here. And I'm not here to say that I know what the officials would do from Monday to Saturday if they were full-time. But right now, they're going back to their jobs and then coming back for the weekend. Does that make any sense to you, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, what are they doing really from February to July? As it is, they're attending clinics and they're going to OTAs and mini camps and working the preseason. So they're staying fresh. You know, it's not like there are extra games for them to be officiating during the year. You know, during the week, during the season, should they be focusing more on their calls? I don't know. It's really about game reps and game experience. And, you know, it's a tough job. They probably get 95 to 98% of the calls right, but the ones they don't are very glaring and the ones that we focus on. So I don't know what they would do as full-time employees, and I don't know if that would change. What they really need is like another developmental league like NFL Europe where these officials can go and officiate real games and get those live game reps. You know, as it is, you know, they're getting the clinics and they're getting the video training, so I'm not sure if making them full-time would change that much unless you also get them more games.
Yeah, it just occurs to me that, you know, and you talked about getting more games. There's no way to do that right now. And you can make the argument that in the other sports where there are as many as 10 times more games being played, that over the course of a season you get so many more reps if you're an official in any other sport that you get to assimilate what you need to do. And how, even if they're full-time in the NFL, you can't do that. It's a question when things aren't going well, right?
Definitely. Just have to give the new crop of officials some time to get used to their crews, and maybe it's just kind of a down year, and maybe it'll get better next year, or maybe with the scrutiny that the game is under now and everyone's watching every play with Red Zone Channel and HGTVs. Maybe this is just what it is.
Yeah, maybe that's
all. There's going to be some bad calls, you know?
Ben, good of you to take time for us tonight. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again, I hope.
Thank you very much.
Ben Volan of the Boston Globe. What do you think of full-time officials?
I'm glad you brought that up. That's right where I was going to go. To me, it hurts the integrity of the league to think the NFL is what? When you read a part-time referee, what do you mean? He has another job? I just think Ben hit on it. I think you'd be a little more fresh come Sunday. It's obviously a pretty high-stress job. I think if you're the best in the world at what you do, which these guys are, supposedly, you should be compensated for it, which they are, but you should also be called a full-time official. You should be making enough to give up whatever your other profession is and dedicate your mind towards what is a huge Sunday, 16 to 20 weeks of the year.
Would you have any opposition if the officials from January, I mean, some of them are still going to be working in January,
sure,
but from January to June had other jobs?
No, I think that'd be like, I guess you
But once the football season starts.
Right, your football. I guess you could be an entrepreneur, but you could be a school teacher, for example.
Yeah, well, maybe. CFL
sick days
used to have jobs. Greg Zahn will join us. Paul Jones, baseball, basketball talk. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.